Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
I call your name. Welcome, everybody, to Medium Insights Hour. Brought to you by Triple F and Signs of Life Radio. Triple F meaning the Forever Family Foundation, of course. So we gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished mediums on a very variety of topics related to consciousness, spirituality, and of course, the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and I'm extremely excited to have Renee Buck, a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation, with us tonight. She is a certified medium who, as a child, had an out-of-body experiences and prophetic dreams and visits from spirit. So, unfortunately, after two personal family tragedies, she began a lifeline quest to answer questions about the issues of life after death and her purpose on earth. So it wasn't until her 40s that Renee began to consciously fully develop her gift. She began by visiting the spiritualist churches and eventually began to understand the science of mediumship and the art of interpreting symbols conveyed by those no longer in the physical. She maintains a practice in Minnesota, and her website is Whispers from the Light, no spaces, so whispersfromthelight.com. And as always, our show is commercial free, so no interruptions. Sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on us, and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. And oh, by the way, there's tonight's show is, you know, for, as always with me, the show is for research purposes only, so there's not going to be any readings tonight. So if you're coming for a reading, you're out of luck tonight, but there are other shows on Thursday nights where you can actually get readings, and I'm sure Renee has done those many times, as well as many other mediums. So we've been, you know, using your listener questions and asking mediums to answer them, and, you know, just it's been working pretty well so far. So tonight's no exception. So with all that being said, Renee, welcome, my friend. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. Getting ready for Christmas. It's such an exciting time of year, right?
Minnesota. Are you guys swamped with snow?
No, not much. No, what we had, I think, is kind of melted away the last few days. So, we're in the balmy 40s right now. Well, not at this minute, but during the day, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a few, but everything's melted. We're supposed to go up to 50 tomorrow, and I'm up here in Smallbunny, New York. I call it Smallbunny, but it's the capital, Albany. So, and really very, very warm, like unusual, like a total green Christmas. I hope we do have a white Christmas. You know, it just makes things nicer.
Yeah, a little bit. Just enough. To make travel possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been busy with your mediumship stuff and your...
Yes. It's been very good.
Mediums are...
I'm reaching a lot of people,
There's not enough of you. That's what the problem is. They're just, you know, high demand, and that's why, you know, when people that book you guys got to book out pretty far, I guess, right?
Yeah, right now, I think it's about a two-month wait.
A two-month wait?
Yeah, okay. it had gone up to almost 6 months, and now it's sort of settled right around two, so I think that's good.
Yeah.
Not too long. Yeah.
Do you find, like, a particular time of the year is busier than the other times? For, you know, for your demand for mediumship?
Yeah, there is a cycle to it, but I'm not exactly sure. I know that in the summer, it's like the waiting list gets shorter and shorter through the summer because people are busy doing other things, and then it starts to build up again.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I would say if people are looking forward to a reading or wanting a reading, they should get on people's wait lists now before it gets even busier.
Absolutely. And you know what? Speaking of wait lists, we got a wait list of callers that want to talk to you. Can you believe it?
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, we've got two Lisas right now on the line. We got one from Florida and we got another Lisa from Florida. So we'll start with Lisa number one from Florida. I think she wants to talk about regret. So Lisa, are you there? Lisa,
hello.
Are you there?
I am here.
Hi,
can you hear,
to the
can
show.
You hear me okay?
We can hear you. Okay. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Absolutely.
So I just have a quick question. I just have a quick question.
Go for it.
For the host. So my daughter passed away in May of this year. Oh, thank you. I've had some significant dreams where she's come to me in my dreams and some other experiences, but I really want to strengthen my connection with being able to communicate with her. And I just wanted to ask you if feelings of regret about anything in our past relationship or feelings of guilt would interfere with me being able to communicate effectively with her on the other side. And do you think because she's my daughter, like that in itself poses a block?
Great question.
I would say, yeah, really, really good questions. I would say no to both of those. The reason that I would say to the, especially addressing the regret question first, is that, you know, your daughter knows probably way better than you realize what emotional journey you've been on since her passing. And when our loved ones know that we are struggling with regrets or, you know, whatever emotions, things left unsaid, whatever, they work even harder to be known, to be perceived. So that all of those sort of difficult, harder feelings can melt away, and that you can let your shoulders drop, you know, that you can just lean into your grief, lean into letting go, lean into the knowledge that she's there and present with you. I think there are two things that I would suggest. If you are you feeling, Lisa, like you're not? She's coming to you in your dreams, so that's good. Are you sensing her at all while you're conscious?
I am not, and you know, I was just going to say to you, any suggestions you have, I would greatly appreciate, because I don't sense her or I don't feel her when I'm unconscious during my waking day.
Well, there are two things that I think you can do. One is to come up with your own sign for her, something that is significant or symbolic to her or to your relationship with her, and tell her, this is our sign, okay? And then just let it go. And when you've done that, then, you know, just wait for it to show up, and you'll be surprised at how quickly spirit will respond to that request. But, you know, it can't be, I shouldn't say it can't be, don't, you know, avoid something that's typical, like, you know, a cardinal, or, you know, certain obvious sort of signs, not, you know, the number four, things like that. Pick something very unique to her. There's on my website, if you go there, there's a blog post that I wrote about my figuring out my sign for my sister in spirit. And I think if you just search on, you know, Laura, message from Laura, I think live, love, laugh is our sign. And whenever I ask for her to show that to me, it's amazing how fast she will bring it to me. So that's something that you can do. And then the other thing is, do you ever have like a wave of grief. It feels like grief coming out of the blue to you. Like you'll be fine one second and then like whoosh, it comes in.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes. Okay. So that actually is your daughter showing up, being right there, giving you what I call a spirit hug. It's her heart chakra energy coming right in close to yours. And it's like an explosion of love, but because she's not physically here, it feels like grief. Okay. But when that happens out of the blue, that means she's there and she's giving you a hug. She's sharing her love with you. So turn those surprising moments of sadness into the real realization and recognition that she's right with you. Okay.
Okay. That's beautiful. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And then in terms of your dreams, I would write down everything that you can remember about her communications with you in your dreams. All right. Because there are perhaps patterns and messages there for you that that you'll want to hang on to.
You can also have a tape recorder on your nightstand, a little portable one. And just,
that's
you know,
a good idea.
Yeah, instead of writing it down, it might be just easier to just describe what you saw in your dream. And then you
good,
can write
that's
it
a good down. Idea. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
I think it's much better than writing because you gotta turn on the light and then your eyes hurt because you're accustomed to the dark and you're fumbling for a pencil, this and that. It's a lot quicker. Even your phone has a recorder on it, right?
It has, right. Yeah. It's like dictation or something. What is it called?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, depending on the phone, there's an app for that for sure, you know? So yeah, Lisa, thank you so much for your call. And again, I'm sorry to hear about your daughter. I know what it's like, cause I lost a son and, the grief never goes away. It'll never go away. But the waves get a little bit smaller and further apart as time goes on, I think.
Right. That's true. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a function. It's directly correlated to the love that you felt. The more you love somebody, the more you're going to grieve for them. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not easy. And I know that you'd much rather than be here than, you know, communicating through mediums or spirit. It's, you know, but at least that option is available to us, you know? And we know that life goes on.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I so much really appreciate these weekly calls. I really, really am just grateful for, you know, the foundation and all the work that you all do. So thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
I'm volunteering for Forever Family Foundation because they saved my life. When my son passed, I was not far behind him, you know, of this world. I was considering, you know, ending it all. And they helped me. They really helped me. And if we can help anybody else, that is what we're here for.
Thank you.
Okay, Lisa, you take care. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I sure will.
Thank you. You bet. Thank you. Okay. Well, that was an interesting call, and we have another Lisa from Florida. Believe it or not. So why don't we take that call as well? So, Lisa from Florida, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm in South Florida. Thank you.
Hi, Lisa.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. Why, thank you very much. I enjoyed the show very much. I think it's wonderful.
So
thank you for everyone who participates in making it happen. There's a lot of people behind the scenes I know also. So thank you to all you all. And happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you.
Same to you. I am gifted with being able to hear people who've crossed weird times in my life, and I've had my mother, my grandmother, my best friend from the other side, you know, with me, and then they kind of left me, and then my guide dog died very early at 6 and a half, and it was a lot of work with him, and it was sudden, and we went together 4 and a half years, and so I'm still waiting to kind of feel him. And I kind of feel like I've, not that I've lost them, but I know they're around, but I don't hear them. So it's okay. You know, it's all right. It's supposed to be, I'm supposed to make my own decisions and stuff. Okay, that's good. But today, it was interesting. Today, this morning, my daughter-in-law texted me and told me about my granddaughter, who's 3 and a half. Now I have a grandson who's 8 and a half, and he used to see somebody in his room. He'd say he saw somebody. My son, he's very open to this. He showed him pictures of my dad, my son's grandpa, and he goes, "Is this the man you saw?" He was so excited to see if it was my dad coming to him. But my grandson was very young then. He was like 3 or something, and he's just like, kind of iffy. My grandson still gets people once in a while, but my granddaughter today said, she said, a child who's her age, the grandpa died. He goes, "Kristen, my daughter-in-law's a good friend, her mother passed, died." And she was thinking of her mother, she was thinking of her friend and her mother, and if her mother went back in the hospital or something. And my daughter-in-law gets a text that her friend's mother-in-law passed away. And it's so it seems like my granddaughter's picking up on stuff, because she's saying these things for no reason, saying that people died. Now, some people haven't. So how can we foster that? Because I'm willing to, like, encourage that. And she's having a talk with her today. And I want to encourage my granddaughter. My grandson's a little afraid, so I'd like to, I think I could reassure him, but I don't necessarily have the opportunity. That because I can't just show up and go, "Okay, let's talk about this." He has to be in a space for it, and there has to be the right space, so I can't just blurt out anything. So I was wondering if you could give some guidance about children, about having, having them stay open and not be afraid, because my grandson's a little afraid. My granddaughter, she's a little powerhouse. She's afraid of nothing.
So what I often say when this comes up in readings is to speak to the child as though it's a very normal, natural thing, and ask them as many questions as you can about what the spirit looked like, what they were wearing, what they were doing, what they were saying. Just ask a lot of questions about it. Be very curious. And it's that, behave as though it's something very wonderful and special. But not necessarily unusual or strange. Okay.
My daughter-in-law is good like that. She's excellent with that.
Yeah. So it's just like having a conversation with them, and if they want to draw pictures about the spirit who's coming through, because sometimes in the pictures, you'll see like a ring on the finger of the person, and you'll be like, "Oh, I know that ring." Some way you can identify exactly who it is, or there'll be something significant that can help you be sure of who it is. So out of the mouths of babes, right? The most amazing messages can come through. I'm sorry, did you want to say Roman?
I just wanted to say that children are natural mediums. I've read in so many places, they're just naturally good at it because they haven't learned otherwise. They haven't learned that, no, it's not possible because science says it's not. You know what I mean? They haven't been tainted. They're naturally gifted.
Yeah. And I think the brain too, it's the brain is just more open and more, it's still forming, which, so I think there's a physicality to the ability of, for mediumship in children, that does start to shift as they get older. And Roman, you may know a little more about, science, some of the science behind it, but it would be interesting to know how the brains of children who've been very open to spirit, have changed over time along with their abilities, or if they haven't changed, if they've continued to stay open. But in my experience, most children do start to lose it by the age of, 5 or 6, 7, Are you familiar with any research on that?
Well, not so much in terms of the clinical research on the brain and stuff like that, but from what I've read, it really has to do with the conditioning that the child is exposed to. And a lot of times, the socialization, the conditioning, whether it's they want it or not, a lot of people in society will say, "Oh, don't talk to the dead," either because of religious purposes or whatever, that it's not, it's not acceptable to do that. Or it's not possible to do that. And they, you know, and they take example from people that are older from them, from their parents, from their teachers. And, you know, once they start realizing, or not realizing, but enough of that kind of a stimulus saying that, no, this is not possible, or no, don't do that, it's going to go away. I mean, when my son was a twin, and he survived by his twin sister, she used to talk to him all the time. He'd be popping out of the ceiling and stuff like that. She used to tell me, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just weaned down. No, even though I encouraged it and I was telling her, I mean, there's other factors involved. There's school, there's peers, there's teachers, mm-hmm. there's religion, there's priests. There's so many influences making it, you know, negative influences, not negative, but influences saying that is not possible. That eventually,
or that's not normal.
Normal. Yeah. Yeah. So that has a big influence on the ability that goes away from children.
Yeah. So take advantage of it now while you can, because it may be time limited.
Absolutely. And write it down. Write down what you get. I mean, and then you can later on talk to that person as they get older and say, do you remember this? You know, and you can get their perspective as they're older. It would be an interesting thing to see what their perspectives are, because memories don't go away. You know, they might be get a little hazy, but they're always there. So it would be interesting to get a perspective from a child, write it down, and then get the adult perspective later on from the same person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Good advice. Yeah. Thank you both.
Appreciate you're very welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for calling. Wow. So we have another call. We have Barbara from Massachusetts on line one. Barbara, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Clear. Hi, welcome. Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not quite sure how to ask this question, so I'll try to put it out there. My husband died in June, very suddenly, of a massive heart attack. He was perfectly healthy. So much has been happening with just things that it's sometimes overwhelming with just connections and things with him. And I guess I'm wondering how to balance these two worlds. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. Like this whole idea of him being here and being close, and yet me trying to discover who I am and how to live my life going forward. Does that make sense at all?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So, first, I think the one thing that newly passed spirits are trying so hard is for you to acknowledge or to understand that they're around, because it can be comforting. But if at any point it becomes too much or overwhelming, all you have to say is to tell him that if he could cut back, that first of all, acknowledge, saying that I heard that, I see that, I know that, I'm getting all of your signs. So be clear about acknowledging everything that's coming through, because he might not be completely clear whether you're hearing it or not, or seeing it or not, or all getting all of these signs, right? So if you can be really clear with him that you are acknowledging them all, and then ask him if he can maybe, you know, cut back on it a little bit, or limit it to a certain kind of sign or message coming through that feels a little more comfortable for you. Because spirit will, they listen carefully and they follow what we are asking very carefully. So so that it's should not, help. Okay. I'm sorry, go
it's
ahead.
It's not as if I don't want them. That's the balancing part. You know, it's not as if I don't want them, and yet it's at the same time, like I don't know how I'm going forward, or if I'm, I don't know how that makes sense. Like I've never lived in, like I've had a lot of things happen to me that, you know, I really believe all this and I know it's happening, but I've never had it to this extent, to this, with this person that I've been that close to. And how do you, how do you grieve and how do you go forward in those two places, if that makes any sense at all?
So like reconciling the idea of loss with the idea that he's still with you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like, and I'm on this plane and I have to survive on this plane without him physically here. And and I don't know how to maneuver that. It's just, it's just,
it's the human challenge, right? It is. Yeah. I very much, I very much understand that.
That is a good problem to have, though, because a lot of people, you know, that are in grief are just the opposite, where they're saying, I don't get enough messages. I don't get, you know, I don't see enough. So you're in a good spot for that. So like Renee said, definitely acknowledge it once you receive the messages. But you are the boss. I think you're the boss, and they will listen. Spirits will listen to you.
So if it, and even if, you know, if the messages that are coming through or the signs or whatever, however it's coming through is always bringing you back to that sense of grief or sadness, like you feel like a little bit like a ping pong ball. Is that a little, is that?
Yeah. And it's and yet it's such a sense of awe because it's so amazing. I mean, I have a son-in-law who's a psychiatrist. So he says, I'm a scientist, right? He doesn't believe this stuff. And he's even going, oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my, what is, you know, and that's how strong this stuff is. And we're all going, where are we? You know, it's just, it is like this ping pong ball. And I hear what you're saying. A lot of people want this so much and they don't get it. And I'm not appreciative. Yeah. And I guess it's more of me. How do I walk this double world?
It just, you know, if you can, I guess, let all of these signs try to just remind you of that the veil between our two worlds is really quite thin, right? You know, we think that they're so far away, but it's really thin. And so start to perhaps develop a new philosophy for yourself, really, about the reality of the other side and this side being really quite close. And for whatever reason, the veil there is even thinner. And so maybe it's just a new paradigm or a reframing of some older ideas about life and death that you need to put together for yourself. Because I think we all are, you know, need that and are moving toward that. And maybe that's what can, you know, bring you some solace. It's a, it's sort of a new way of being, a new way of thinking about.
Oh, absolutely. Because before this, I mean, since this, like, I have no fear of dying, like none.
Oh, yeah. Good.
It's a good thing.
I mean, it's like incredible how it's like, okay, when it's time, I'm going.
And
that in itself has been huge.
And I
appreciate that comment about the veil maybe being more thin than I ever imagined, especially the two of us.
You know, and there are certain parts of the world where the veil is naturally thinner than other parts.
Right.
I know, like New England, along the are you along the coastline there?
I'm not far in Massachusetts from the coast at all.
Okay. Yeah. So along the New England coastline here in the Minneapolis area, this is, you know, one pocket or by the Great Lakes, the West Coast also. And then there's one other place in the States, I forget where. This was in the book Seth Speaks. He talked about these sort of pockets of spiritual energy where the veil is thinner.
And it's also Ireland, Scotland.
It could be. I know there's some other places in the world that he mentioned. But I mean, sometimes people call them vortexes, but it's really more like a thinness. I just feel like it's just a thinness between the worlds. And and you do tend to find more spiritual activity among the humans who live there than other parts of the country or the world. Yeah.
Yeah, like Lilydale, New York is a big place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tons of mediums live there. And I guess that's when Fox Sisters gave birth to mediumship. I think it was called Lilydale, New York. It's kind of like in Western New York.
Right. I think they were weren't they in Hydesville or something?
I thought it was Lilydale, something.
Well, there is a Lilydale community. Lilydale community, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
That is so interesting because we just moved a year ago from Pennsylvania to here in Massachusetts.
So that's interesting. Yeah. If you were still living in Pennsylvania, you might not have had the same experience. There's maybe some interesting synchronicity there, right?
Absolutely. That just is overwhelming. Absolutely not. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome.
One of the mediums.
Right, have a good night.
Okay.
You too. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Barbara. I was just going to say, a couple of shows back, I think I had a medium on that kind of said that, if you're near big bodies of water, that is definitely conducive to thinning the veil.
Yeah.
Bodies of water, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Interesting.
That's why you have like a string of, spiritualist churches all along from the central East Coast all the way up. You'll find spiritualist churches and institutes all the way along the waterline.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very interesting.
I can see that happening for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that was unusual. Three, boom, right off the bat, three calls like that. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. So now that we don't have any callers, we can get to some of our listeners' questions. Have you ever communicated with like an extraterrestrial entity? Or maybe it wasn't, or maybe it was, you don't know. Like, I mean, what's your take on that?
So I also do Akashic Records readings, which delve a little bit into sort of the journey of the soul. And I had a reading, it's probably a couple of years ago now, where one of the guides that came through definitely looked different than all the others that I've seen. She was very tall and had a much larger head, and it was kind of, like upside down pear shaped, kind of like what we've seen in the depictions of aliens that have come, to this land. But she was very big, like, I don't know, like if she were, I would say she was probably like eight feet tall, with really kind of big sort of almond shaped eyes. But she had hair on her head, but just different, similar, but different. Yeah. And that's the only experience that I can recall of someone like that coming into one of my readings.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be. I mean, I believe that there's other life out there. We just haven't found it yet because
absolutely.
We don't have the technology in science to do it yet. Whereas, on the plane of spiritualism, I think extraterrestrial have been accepted for a long time because it's just consciousness, which is energy, and that moves through anything. Distance cannot separate. that, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. And we can live our lives. I believe that we can live our lives on other, you know, in other places, other dimensions, in other mm-hmm. kinds of bodies, should we choose. You know, mm-hmm. Earth is, as you have probably heard it said, the hardest training ground. And so, you know, yes. souls like to come down here to work through, you know, the challenges, you know, the means by which yeah. we advance our souls. And so, sure. So people who are here often mm-hmm. tend to come back again and again. And so, right. but if we happen to be on another planet in another galaxy right now, then yeah. the people that like to come back to that environment, we would be working with, right? So
sure. Absolutely.
It makes sense. Yeah.
So, well, I guess people really love you because the phone's off the hook again. We got a
yeah,
another call for you. We got a Kathy on line 34. Okay. I don't know where she's from, but let's get her on the show. Kathy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome Hi. To the show, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Thank you. Hello. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You are so yeah. welcome. Do you have a question for our esteemed guest?
Yes, I do. So I am just now starting into taking some mediumship classes and such, so I'm just beginning my journey. And I was wondering, you know, how can you tell the difference between clairaudience and claircognizance? Because I've been told that clairaudience, you can hear the thought in your own, it sounds like your own voice inside your head, or it could sound like someone else's voice outside your head. There are all kinds of different ways you can hear it. But I hear like in my own voice in my head, and I don't know if it's clairaudience or if it's my imagination or if it's claircognizance, and does it matter, I guess, is also my question.
Okay. So you're right about clairaudience. It can sound like another person's voice. Usually when a medium says clairaudience, that you're receiving information clairaudiently, it's usually the other person's voice that you're hearing. Okay.
Right.
So, and that can be like a physical sound. Some people actually hear it. Like there have been a few times where, you know, I've heard, you know, like my dad or my mom or different people that I, you know, have in spirit actually say something to me when I'm awake, not mm-hmm. in even in mediumship. I'm just like awake doing something. And I'll hear, you know, my mom say, Renee, you know, like, oh, hi. So that's clairaudience, right? When you're using your inner senses, then it's much more subtle. And some mediums are much better at clairaudience than others. My clairaudience is not very high. I'm really a visual and sensing person. So keep that in mind. Like not every medium is going to regularly use all of the inner senses. All right. Now, claircognizance, clear knowing, that doesn't always, it generally doesn't have a voice or words to it. It's, you know, like you just know something, like you have a sense of something about to happen or a sense of what a person, let's say there's, you're having a conversation with a person here, right? You're having a coffee and mm-hmm. they're fidgeting about something and you just know what's coming. Even though the words haven't been said or whatever, like you just know what's coming, right? So that's what I mean by claircognizance. It's sometimes, for me, it sometimes happened when a lot of imagery or symbols or a lot of the senses are all kind of coming together in like a little bit of a whirlpool. And it's for the deeper concepts. It's like they all come together and I just know what spirit wants to say about that situation, for example, or about what, you know, my client might be going through or experiencing, or it's just a sense of knowing. So not necessarily attached to words or sounds. Okay.
So if I hear a voice in my head, that, I mean, because I've heard
it's
mediums
clear
say
audience.
That,
Yeah. Right. I've heard mediums say that if you can hear it in your own voice, but it can still be spirit. It just sounds like your own voice. But you're saying that.
So is this when you're just doing it with, you're just sitting in meditation, you mean? Or you're doing a reading for somebody else?
When I'm doing, I've never done a reading, a real reading, but when I do practice readings in like mediumship classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Can I add something?
Yeah. Go ahead, Roman.
For this claircognizant thing, don't focus so much on the voice. Focus on where in the picture it came in. For example, if a thought pops into your head or an idea that has nothing to do with something that you're thinking about, like it's completely different than what you were thinking a fraction of a second ago. All right. That is for sure something that's claircognizant. Okay. It's an idea that pops in your head, has nothing to do with your train of thought that led you to where you are right now. It just pops in out of nowhere. That is a good way to define claircognizant. It's an idea that out of nowhere, just boom, in your head. And don't worry about the voice or whatever. It's where it's just the fact that it came from nothing, from just materialized. So that is a message from spirit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. And I think what Roman said is like, or maybe you said this to us, but it's just I wouldn't worry about it. Like how it's coming in, don't focus too much on how it's coming in, but just that it is coming in. And if it's not, if it's something that it wouldn't have been your own thought or your own, whether it comes in via a voice or images or whatever, just put it out, give it out. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the most important thing is, I think beginning students of mediumship are afraid they might be wrong or they might feel silly or whatever, but you know what? No, you have to like give it out. Let me tell you something about what happened to me today and yesterday. Two readings linked, oddly. So yesterday, I started out a reading with a young man who came in. He was very clear to me. I described him. I could feel his personality. He had these cherry bombs in his hand. And it was, I feel like, oh, 4th of July. 4th of July is a big deal. You know, he was throwing out these little, little teeny bombs that, make noise and scare people or whatever. And she couldn't place him at all. And I'm like, really? You can't, I don't understand anything about him. And she's like, no, I can't. So I'm like, okay. So I just finally said, you know what, sir, if you can just step aside, that would be great. I'd appreciate that. And then I just, added a little bit to her time, to make up for this guy that came into her reading that didn't belong to her. So today I had a reading, same time of day, and he comes in again. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's back. And I was thinking that he just likes me and just wants to come and hang out in my readings or something. So anyway, I start describing him. I said, I've got a guy here. He was here yesterday. I don't know that he's for you, but he's kind of like, and she's like, oh my gosh, I did that. And I'm like, what do you mean you did that? She goes, and I know who it is. So yesterday, she thought her reading was yesterday. So at the very same time that I was sitting in a reading with this other woman, she was inviting him to join her to come in to talk to me. And he did, but he came into my other reading. So so anyway, I'm like, so do you understand the cherry bombs and everything and the 4th of July? And she's like, yes. So that was actually, I had to follow up with her about the cherry bombs in a text later. Because I'm like, oh, wait, the cherry bombs, I forgot to get the validation on that. And so she said that that the 4th of July was a huge thing in their family. And he loved to throw out and surprise, shock people with these little cherry bombs, I don't know, they under their chairs or whatever outside. And when he passed away last summer, her son found a whole, can of them or whatever in the garage. And he kept them. And he said, I'm going to use these just like dad would come summer. And so the cherry bombs are kind of a thing of his. So that's why I say, trust what's coming through, give it out, and it's going to land somewhere, right?
Got it.
Okay. And it can also be, like last week I had my third party reading where a woman came in right in the beginning of another client's message, a woman came in from spirit, and I described her. She was very clear. She had a son named Jack, and please let him know that she's okay. And this, my client's like, I don't know anybody named Jack. I don't know anybody who knows anybody named Jack. And I'm like, well, somehow in your network. Well, the next day I got an email from her. It said, I found Jack, the woman I play, who's in my Mahjong group, has a daughter married to Jack who just lost his mother.
Oh, wow.
Right? So always trust, okay? Don't be intimidated by what's coming through, and don't worry how it's coming through. Just get it out, and it'll find a home, okay?
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome, yeah. Jack. Good luck to you.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was an interesting call. And, that just goes to show what I said earlier, that we are the boss. We, they spirit listens to us.
Yeah. Spirit does.
If we give them the wrong information, they're going to come in at the wrong time.
Yeah. They are, I know. And it made me think, Roman, I think that's the first time that has happened, like on a two separate days, because, and it only happened because she was inviting him in at that time. Sometimes it happens when I have like a back-to-back reading and I, like some spirits from the second reading will come in early. And it messes it up. So I don't do that anymore. I'm like, if I can avoid that, I'm going to avoid that.
Not to mention the physical strain it takes on you to do a back-to-back reading. It's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, it's interesting.
The other thing they were talking about is, mediums that are learning. Like, I think one of the biggest hurdles to get over is trusting the messages, because your ego in the way, and no, it can't be real, this is too good to be true, blah blah blah. And I think that more experienced mediums such as yourself have learned to overcome that and to really trust what you get.
Because it's not coming from you, it's like what you just said before, it pops into your head, so it's not coming from my own mind or my own thoughts. It's just coming in. So,
The thing is also, don't worry about the clairs too much. There's a lot of clairs, clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant, there's a lot of clairs out there. And the important thing is, however you receive the message, is good. I think.
Yeah.
How many clairs are there, by the way?
I think there's five main ones.
One for each sense, I guess, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe plus clear cognizance. That may be. So, there's vision, hearing, sensing, taste, touch, and six. Yeah, and then clair cognizance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's very interesting. And I've always wanted to be a medium myself, but I just don't have. It takes a lot of dedication, and
it does take dedication.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Personally, I don't have the time, but I am fascinated by it. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you should try sometime.
Yeah.
If you can, absolutely. Just take one class just to get a,
I have from a medium who was really pretty lousy, actually. So I didn't get much out of the class. And that's before I met, Bob and Fran and all you wonderful.
Everybody here.
Yeah. I went to like a local, I Googled it, somebody local, blah, blah, blah. And she said, by the way, bring a picture of your son. It's like, what kind of medium does that? Bring a picture of him. No.
Yeah.
So there's different levels. And, I've had bad mediums and I've had mediums that knock my socks off. So there's,
So
of you that are there, beware. And really, you got to do discerning. You got to be... don't take it for granted. Don't take anything for granted. Be discerning. Do your research. Be like an open-minded skeptic is probably the best way to be.
That's right. I agree.
That way,
I agree. Yeah.
I've done some things where, you give the fake name. And if you can pay in cash, you do that. So you don't give them credit card information so that they can, I'm not saying that you can, that you do that, that you don't have time to Google, stuff, you know, maybe yeah. some do, but you know, the real ones, you don't have to do that. And you don't, you know,
I think quite maybe honestly, like the more your mind is a blank slate, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you know that, you know, anything, any information you might know about a person, who's, you know, your sitter, it can get in the way.
Absolutely.
And so that's why it's harder to do readings for like people that you know well. It's much easier to do with people that you don't know at all.
Right.
You know, it's better same if I don't actually know a person's name.
What about him? Do you find any difference between in person and over a Zoom call or a phone call? Do you find a difference?
You know what? My favorite is phone because mm-hmm. I work mostly clairvoyantly and clairsentiently.
Okay.
And my eyes are closed. And so the fewer distractions, the better. So if somebody is in front of me physically or via Zoom, it's just a distraction to me. Right. And so phone readings are more clear. You know, people don't have to leave their homes. You know, it's just a better mode. For me. And so if someone really wants to come and have an in-person reading, you know, I may be like, okay, well, if you're healthy and you've been vaccinated, sure. You know, but I can't afford to get sick. Like I can't. So,
of course.
And just the distraction, as I said, it's like, I would just rather, do it on the phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. So
Zoom, you know, the thing about Zoom that it does help, though, is to do international readings. I can use mm-hmm. Zoom, but then we can go audio only. Once we've seen each other and, you know, I've said hello, then that's fine, too.
Right. So you don't need the person's reaction or anything to see if you're mm-hmm. on the right path. You just go with what comes. That's it.
Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
What a reading should be. Just, you know.
Yeah.
And it still boggles my mind, even though I've done, you know, many interviews with different mediums and read many books on the subject and everything, but it still boggles my mind that out of the billions of people in the world, that spirit will zoom in at the right time, at the right place, based on your instructions. And, you know, it just boggles my mind.
Yeah, I know, right? It is. But everybody, you know, I mean, you find each other, right? People find each other, whether they're on this side of the veil or the other side. You know, it's that energetic link. It's the mind link.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. But it is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm still thinking about, you know, that the spirit who came in yesterday.
At the wrong time.
Yeah, it was like I had two readings happening at the same time.
Right.
But I wasn't aware of it.
And the other thing, I don't think spirit have a good sense of time on the other side, because really there is none.
Yeah,
and
it's different.
So, yeah, and it's like, okay, so if they're not good with time, how do they know when to show up? It's all these questions that...
Well, they know our time. They can see what time it is for us, so...
Yeah, that's true.
And I think, you know, they're tapping into, you know, their loved ones or to me, you know, to see if I'm getting ready, so we get settled in. I know for a fact that, you know, the night, usually the day before or the morning of, like some of the loved ones will hang out with me just to sort of see what I'm doing and what they might use as visuals for the reading to speed things up. Yeah. That often happens.
And do you say, hey, I know you're there. Yeah, you can hang out, you know.
No, I don't feel them. When I'm not tuned in to the reading, I don't feel them at all. But I know in the reading, because suddenly they're drawing my attention over to my Japanese lamp and then over to my Japanese, you know, other things. And I'm like, okay, this person that's coming through has a connection to Japan. They're like, Yes, he was in the military in Japan, and he loved to travel, you know. So they're ready, like they know what of my stuff they're going to draw my attention to, and for to be quick about it. Yeah, it's very interesting. Or a TV show I've watched, like if there's a character that they are really similar to, they'll show me themselves, and then they'll show me that character, and I'll be like, I'm like that guy or that woman. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Well,
it is
you're in London.
fascinating.
Our Renee, our hour flew by. Didn't it fly by so quick?
It did.
It's like 9 o'clock. We're out of time. I mean, I didn't even get to the listener questions, but that's fine. Well, I keep those questions handy and it'll be used the next time.
Yeah,
Simple as
good.
that. So yeah, it's all good. All questions are good questions. So Renee, thank you so much for, for being here, for taking the time to do this. As always,
My
I've,
pleasure.
very fascinating. And again, I'm gonna give you a little plug there that people can definitely learn more about you and book time with you on whispersfromthelight.com. Is that correct? That
Yes,
is your
that is correct. I
best way to.
also, if there's a minute, I can just say I've got a couple more spaces available in a mediumship retreat coming up in May in Minnesota. It's a 4-day intensive mediumship classes. So for people who feel that they are already starting to receive information, or maybe they've had a very basic or foundational class already, and they want to kind of take it to the next level, I've
Are
got
these
four.
in person,
I'm
or
sorry?
is this an in-person class, or is it
Yeah,
virtual?
it's in person. No, it's in person. It's here in Minnesota. It's going to be at the House of Prayer at St. John's University. It's about an hour and a half from the cities. Beautiful place, a beautiful facility. So we're staying there. We're eating together. We're learning together. We're doing mediumship together. Also some soul journeys. I'm a hypnotherapist as well. So past life and life between life regressions. So it's going to be, not just learning mediumship, but learning about yourself, about your soul's journey, in this sort of realm of mediumship. So
Sounds
something, if
amazing.
anybody's out there listening and thinks that might be something, they can apply. I am looking, for the right, people to come in at this time. So, but so far, I don't think I've had to turn anybody away. There was one person I questioned just to make sure if she's been having, if she's linking in at least. And she convinced me that she was. So that was a go. But anyway,
Fantastic. Wow, that's amazing that you're doing that.
I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to attend myself, but I am going to be, I think, in San Diego at that time, I think. But
I
that's a different scenario altogether. I'm
am.
it's a software development a little bit, so I'm going to be at this big Salesforce conference
Convention.
in San
Oh,
Diego.
San Diego is a fabulous town.
I've been there a couple of times. It's real nice. I like it. Very nice. So, Renee, thank you so much, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And again, like the late Frank Ginsberg used to always say that our loved ones are just a heartbeat away, and
Yes.
it's going to prove it, and it will.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, the show
We
that way.
miss her. Yeah.
Oh, it was an amazing, amazing person. I love her so much. Amazing person. And she's there. She's on the other side,
She
and
is.
she'll
She's
be.
probably listening right now.
For sure. Absolutely. It brings warmth to my heart knowing that.
Well, happy holidays to you,
Well,
Roman, and
thank
everybody who's listening.
you. Yeah. Same to you, Renee. Thank you again. And good night, everybody. And we'll see you in a month from now. And happy holidays, everybody. Good night.